All right, everyone. It is yet again another sad and depressing edition of Inside City Limits. We have the three Musketeers here today, me, Mike, and Trevor. No Jack once again. It's another loss, another ugly loss.
That's the only way to describe this team.
I feel like I intro all of these episodes the exact same. just to be upfront, I was at a wedding over the weekend on Saturday at Union Station. Very nice ceremony reception. So I was barely watching. I watched until 2-0 on my phone and turned it off. Mike, I think your text earlier today, because Trevor was also gone out of town, so we're kind of just checking the scores, playing catch up. And you said if you've watched any of the City games this year, you watched last night as well. So I'm going to guess nothing changed.
No, I mean, go through what we've seen from City this whole season. And you can just check it off the list. No offense? Check. Bad defensive mistakes? Check. Flat-footed from Yarrow? Check. The only person who was actually surprising was Watts didn't play that bad. Didn't play that good, but he didn't play that bad. Can't really put anything on him. They kind of had him more in a midfield role than that wingback role.
You know how difficult it is to try to rewatch a game that you already know you've lost 3-0? That was my challenge I faced today, and it was tough. I was yelling at Olaf last episode about not changing it up, going out there and losing with the same formation. At least he changed up formation. This was definitely different than what we usually see, especially with different players in different positions. But same result, unfortunately.
I liked the formation, too. Only thing I would have changed, obviously, other than things I couldn't change, like I, you know, wouldn't want Yarrow to start, but it kind of has to with Kessler's obviously still working his way back. Is I would have had Silva out there for Toy Shirt.
Yep.
And I think I would have swapped Oshrock and Pompeo. I think Oshrock can play a little more defensively. And we kind of missed Elliot on the attack. I loved Wallum in the false nine, though. I thought he played great for the half of it we got to see before they kicked him out to the midfield.
Yeah, and he almost scored in the 20th minute there, which really would have changed the match. I mean, I don't know if it would have changed not getting 3 points or 1 point, but, you know, if you go up 1-0 in the 20th, silence the crowd a little bit, that would have been huge. He put himself in a good spot. Unfortunately, he just kicked it right at the goalkeeper.
Oh, no. Those are great saves. St. Cloud's is a very good goalkeeper.
Well, let's just pull it up right here. He kicks it at the goalie.
That was a diving stop. You're talking about the very first one he had. That was a diving stop.
The one in the 20th?
I don't know.
All he had to do was fall to his right. All he had to do was fall to his right.
Yeah, we're talking about the same one, and you're wrong. No, come on.
He had to fall down to his right. He had a whole 8 feet to the right.
And he made a diving save. Obviously, you want better.
Do you count a diving save as dropping down and then using your arm?
When Berkey does it, we call it a diving save.
No, he didn't even extend. He just extended his arm.
No, you can't, because Berkey made a very similar save, and if we had talked about that first, you would have said, great diving save from Berkey. I know it.
Maybe we're not looking at the same shot here.
We are.
This is he just fell down right on the ball and used his right arm to save it.
I mean, save. Because if Berkey had made it, that's what we'd call it. Yeah, you guys are just so down in the dumps, you refuse to give anybody credit.
No, I thought that was...
I was giving Wallum credit for getting in a good spot, and he just kicked it at the goalie.
Well, you can't give someone credit and immediately take it away.
I didn't take away. Well, I just said he kicked it at the goalie.
Guys. The team is not fun to watch. That doesn't mean anytime there's a good moment, you got to take it away from us.
Who was the player that got hit in the box early on, and they were kind of delayed? They were kind of
Torshire got a hand up to the face, and I think they should have VAR'd that, and it should have been a pin. That is a biased opinion, but I do think it was enough, or it was like a big shoulder. It's like a huge shoulder that To me, that's a penalty everywhere else on the field, and I guess they just didn't call it because it was in the box.
That really would have set the tone, and like you said earlier, even if we wouldn't have gotten 3 points, that would have at least changed how the match looks. To be honest, I can't even say that, like, want to win, because as soon as we'd go up one, we would drop back into the five at the back, and then after the 60-minute mark, we would have given up a goal or two anyway, so I don't know what would have changed, if anything, but I would at least have given us a little bit of momentum and some positivity, which I think both the players and the fans desperately, desperately need right now, because it's bad. I saw on Twitter that this is the 10th match since we've last won in the MLS against Seattle. And that is the longest winless streak in club history. Carnell had 9 before he got sacked last year. So now we're in new territory.
I don't think they'll fire Olaf anytime soon. I think they're actually going to wait this one out. I think it's literally just because they're going through coaches too quick and there might not even be a candidate out there. But I think the seat's getting a little bit hotter when you're losing every game or you're giving up leads. And then you're losing in this fashion towards a blowout. You're not even competitive. There's just not much you can do. We don't really have any more players. You can't move it around more than he already has the last couple games. I feel like he's been sticking the same formation. Then you see a formation change, still not working. We don't have any other players coming back till Leuven gets back. And like, I just don't think you can blame this one all on Olaf. I think it's 50% to 60% on the players, and I think we're just in a bad spot right now. We're gonna have to either bring in some talent or bring up some youth from City 2. I really don't know what to do at this point.
We're just gonna continue to agree to disagree here, Trevor. I think you absolutely can blame Olaf for this. Look at the subs. Was any of the subs inspiring choices when we're already down?
No, I said you can't blame it all on Olaf. I think some of this now has to be on the players, because here's the switch up on the formation. The subs are definitely, it's kind of like in the KC game. The subs were a little odd, but I'm like, how much does Olaf have to do with this? I know he's suspended, but then he makes kind of the same decisions here where you're bringing in defensive guys. It's almost like when that team is around 500 and you got the trade deadline coming up. If you sell players now, the team's just definitely not going to make the playoffs, because they're going to be like, oh, ownership gave up on us. The GM doesn't believe. I think Olaf sends that message in the, what was it, the 70th minute when you bring off Pompeo for Durkin. Like, what message are you sending then to the team? Sit back and just give up? Because then you see more goals go in late, just like every game, the last, like, this whole losing stretch. I feel like almost every goal is past the 70th minute.
It's so obvious the players just, they really don't care that much. It very much seems like they're just going through the motions out there. Other than a select few. I mean, we can all say, we all know who, you know, Celio, Hartel, Berkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, it just seems like they're going through the motions. And that 100% is on coaching. He isn't getting them to buy in. See, the season seems gone. I don't know if we win 5 more. I can tell you what's going to happen the rest of the season with like 80% certainty. We're going to get 2 budget players in the summer window that we're going to try to convince ourselves is good. They're not going to do much. And then Lutz and Olaf, or just Olaf, is out by Labor Day.
It's going to be like last year. It's going to be exactly like the end of last year.
We have no identity.
Olaf made 2 attacking subs late. And it's good to see Alm out there, and like, they made those subs at the 83rd. It's 3-0. It's like, it's a little late there, but I know you can't bring Alm in that early, and he's still trying to get his feet under him. But I don't know. You were watching live, Mike. Did you see Alm have anything to do? Like, at this point, the game's over. But any good signs?
Yeah, there was nothing to do. I mean, the only good sign is he was out there, right? Like, it's been a while since you've seen him, so
yeah,
maybe he's coming back, and maybe he'll. Maybe with these guys coming back, they'll get a shot of something, but that's just the cope in me. I don't think anything positive is going to happen.
And maybe we'll see Alm more in the Wednesday match against the same team. Do you guys know if is City staying up there? Are they coming back, training down here, and going back up? I figured they'd stay up there, but
I'm kind of waiting to see, because with the credentials, they will send you like the week schedule, like, you know, when they're going to be available for training and everything. And I haven't gotten that yet. So I'm kind of intrigued to see. I feel like it would make sense if you could find somewhere to train. It would make sense to just stay up there, right? Rather than take an extra flight there and back for no reason. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like you should.
It's only an hour flight, though.
Yeah, true. It's not far.
It's not like Seattle or anything.
Yeah. In the next, can I pull the room real quick, just off the top of your guys' heads? We got, so you think Olaf seat's heating up? Do you think he'll last? So we got a stretch of games going up. I'm looking at the schedule here. Our next MLS games, league games, it's Colorado, who's pretty decent, San Jose, who's middle of the table, Portland, who's up in the top five, but then you have LA, Orlando, who's decent, and then Houston, but they're not, it's not like we're playing any juggernauts in the next six games. You think if we don't get a win, you think if we don't win over one game there, he's gone by, would that be June 28th? Because, I mean, what's Colorado? Colorado's sitting 7th, San Jose's sitting 8th, Houston's sitting 10th, LA is dead last and hasn't won a game yet. So you're really only playing one team in the top five in your next six games. So I feel like if you don't come out with more than a win or two, you need to have two wins in that next six. If not, I feel like he should be gone at that point, because Carnell got fired for a lot less.
And to be honest with you, I think that Carnell firing is going to come into play with how long Olaf's leash is. I know it's a very convenient excuse with all the injuries, but I feel like I want to see this team, which we'll never see them fully healthy. I've kind of accepted that at this point. But I want to see them with like a Totlin back, a Leuven back, Durkin, and see if it gets any better. In an ideal world, I feel like I would want to wait until after this year, let them get a new transfer window in, and try to, I don't know if it's acclimating the system to the players or players to the, I don't know, but like give them some time, and then next year, if it looks as bad as it does now, then you can let them go quickly and try to save the season. But there's also a part of me that's like, if you go maybe one win in that stretch and then you also lose to LA, who's like having a historically bad season, it might be time for some changes. I just feel like since they fired Carnell so quickly, they're going to, like Mike said, they don't want to have to been going through three coaches in 3 years. So I think that they might give him a little more time just to save their own ass.
Out of the, another fun game here, out of the starting 11 from yesterday, I think, how many people would you keep on the roster at this point? We almost need a college football, like, transfer portal type summer. We got to, like, overhaul this roster.
You know, that
I think I'd keep, like, four.
That was something interesting I was actually thinking about while watching the game. I'm firmly Olaf out but at this point. I'll give him the rest of the season. Seems like a lost season.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think he makes it past Labor Day this year, which is September 1st if we want to start a counter.
Thank you for saying that, because I was like, when the fuck is Labor Day? I can't remember.
I just had looked up. I didn't know off the top of my head. But when I was watching the game, I'm sitting there and I'm going, how many people are we keeping? How many people can you see, have this team and build a team around them? Berkey's one. I don't know if is Berkey going to stay?
I mean,
if he left, I wouldn't blame him. Honestly,
you keep putting Yarrow, Hebert, and Bumgarner out there in front of him.
I wouldn't blame him.
Not only that, but we see him a couple years away from competing. Does he want to just stay in St. Louis and not compete?
I think the good thing about the MLS, though, kind of like I alluded to in college football, and you see like teams like San Jose did, you can overhaul your roster a lot easier than other. Like, you don't even have to have a rebuild year.
But
in the MLS, you can legit overhaul your roster in 1 year. Now, does that mean they're going to make the right decisions? Because look, that's what we were supposed to do this year, and we brought in all this talent. And I know a lot of injuries are coming up, but it hasn't really worked.
That's less what I'm worried about, and more is to do that, you have to have ownership willing to spend the money.
That doesn't seem like it's happening.
Yeah, I was trying to make an excuse for him, but they're not gonna do it.
I think that Berkey, if he left, I wouldn't blame him. I'm almost at.
I think Klaus needs to go.
Klaus needs to go. I can't tell if I'm like, you know, it's kind of like how the Blues and the Cardinals are. It's like, do we sell off the first team guys that suck and then like hope that like JGR and some of the City 2 guys can mature into that level? Do we go and get a bargain bin player from the second or third tier in Europe and then he comes here and he sucks just like Germany. The other ones have? That's what I'm saying. Like,
obviously,
I don't know
stop
how
getting
many
these
times.
Stop but, getting sorry. These Bundesliga 2 players because was it Horn that quoted? Who was it that quoted that said Bundesliga 2 is not as good as the MLS?
And it's kind of it was him or Hartel.
Yeah, and people were getting pissy about it. Like, look, we got a whole squad of Bundesliga 2 people, and we're sitting 14th out of 15th in the fucking conference. Like, so obviously, which is says good things about the MLS, but we can't just keep plucking these guys from the. You either have to develop some talent, which is going to take some time, or you're going to have to go out and spend some money. And I don't think, you know, they're definitely not spending money. So we're going to be, like Mike said, we're going to be in a three-year winning window, like 3 years from now. And Berkey's not waiting, you know. So now we're going to find a goaltender. I just don't think they're going to spend the money, and I don't want to wait. Berkey doesn't want to wait, but that might have to be the route we go if ownership's not willing to spend.
Yeah, I'm okay waiting. As long as they commit to it. We had a 5-year plan. How many times did they mention the 5-year plan before we kicked off for the first time?
Yeah.
That's like all they talked about. When we win the West, year one, they throw that in the trash. Yeah. We have no idea. We have no plan. I would rather them go, all right, we're just going to build through youth. Like, as long as they can sit and tell us that, and have a concrete plan, I'm fine watching a bad team for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But they're operating this weird middle area. It's just not. It's, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
and
not
they are. Something I want to see. It does seem like they are building the youth programs quite a bit. You, like our under 15 teams doing good. Like City 2 is always doing well. And you see all these youth programs and a lot of money going into St. Louis's youth programs. So maybe 2 or 3 years from now, we will start seeing a payoff. It is just too early, but they're definitely not spending money. So maybe they have a plan, but it's just weird how much they mentioned that 5-year plan. They threw it out the window, and then they haven't mentioned any plan since. They just said, hey, we're going to make the playoffs this year at the beginning of the year. That's obviously not going to happen. If anything, change it. If like nothing's probably changing, and so they're not making the playoffs. I don't know if we're getting past on the cup run Wednesday. So maybe that youth will come to fruition in 2 or 3 years. We'll have to wait and see, but they definitely haven't announced their plans on long-term success.
It's like when the Blues did it, Armstrong came out and said, hey, we're not going to be very good this year, but you just got to trust the process. And then this year he goes, we firmly expect to make the playoffs, and you believe him because, you know, they're honest and upfront about what they expect from this team and what they're doing. I haven't seen City do that yet. They have a manager who doesn't take accountability. He doesn't get the players going. He dresses like me when I'm watching the game at home.
People keep telling me that's a boomer take.
It bugs me.
It does. It's such a, like, who was it? Was it Jack that said that was a boomer take? When I mentioned that, like,
I said that.
Match day like 5. Like I mentioned that so early, and I'm just like, you know what, I'll just keep my mouth shut. Then someone else said it the other day. I'm like, I knew I wasn't in the minority, dude. Fuck it. Dress for success. God damn it. At least wear a freaking quarter zip or something. A t-shirt is crazy. Wear a golf polo.
Some pants. It was like 50 degrees.
He's got a parka on with shorts. He's got gym shorts and shoes on with a parka on over the top. It's fucking crazy.
We don't have much to talk about when we start getting into fashion.
Yeah.
I think Olaf, I don't know, dude. I listened to some of his press conference answers, and it just doesn't, like, it's coach speak, which everybody gets, but he's not really answering the questions. He says the same shit week after week, and I feel like eventually, like Trevor, we kind of talked about it before we started recording. They're not asking softballs anymore. Like they, at the pressers, he's getting his feet put to the fire a little bit, talking about why he didn't do this. Or like, I know like last night he was saying that Minnesota, you know, they were very good and they're, you know, they can slow the game down and all this stuff. And I was like, what about us? You know that they're going to slow the game down and that they're dangerous in possession and all that shit. What are we doing to combat that? Like, it just doesn't feel like anything's changing with the players, which I guess you can say injuries. The formation, he did a little tweak, but like, I don't know. You don't want to be too drastic, but after a while, it's like, okay, we got to try something.
Does anybody know how long till the stadium's paid off? Because we'll start spending some money as soon as I mean, I love that it's privately funded, and I always make that joke all the time, but I know they're running a business.
Pass that around the stadium?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll donate $30, $25 just to help get that thing paid off. I mean, all jokes aside, they're just not willing to spend money, and we could allude to that all the time, but it feels like a little bit like the Cardinals, not to keep comparing them to other St. Louis franchises, but a little bit like the Cardinals. And when they do spend money, it's just seems like it's the wrong player. I mean, look, we spend some money on Toy Shirt. It's just not working out. We spend some money, you bring these guys in like Bumgarner. We spend money on Nielsen. It's just not working out. And then it feels like it takes too long to cut loose from these players. Like, I feel like a striker that scores one goal, two goals on the season, like Klaus, should have been out of here by now. He's not scoring again. He's still here. Nielsen can't stay healthy. He's still here. We just wait on these guys, I feel like, too long. And then we just waste the little money we do spend. And that's why we're at 14th.
And it's just kind of annoying because we've seen them ship players out relatively quickly. Like when Dinnerin was going through all that shit, I mean, he was like kind of not included for a couple weeks, but then he was out of there. When Blum wanted to go back to South Africa, he was out of there. Dyer or Durr, however you pronounce it, once he couldn't get acclimated, he got shipped back. So it's like they can understand when things aren't going wrong and they can make those changes. But to be honest, this is kind of a different talking point, but I think that the success our first year is going to like really be detrimental to the vibes around the fan base and the club, because now we all expect playoffs every year. And I think that we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that that might not be the case, at least in the near future, this year, maybe next year at least.
And that circles back to my Army point. I mean, that's what you need, someone from the front office to come out and say this. They acted at the very beginning of the year that we were going to be competitive. I mean, they had us playing top four in the West at the start of the year. No, it seems like they knew, it seems like Olaf knew that he didn't have the players for his system. And it seems like he's just going to try to do his system, even though he's admitted he doesn't have the players for it. That's what I'm saying. We're in this middle ground of not being competitive and no clear path to being competitive. We need to get out of it ASAP.
And I feel like we're just talking in circles here and we're talking very generally, but like, they know it's not working. You can tell by how he talks after the games. You can tell by the vibe around everything. You can tell it's not working. And at this point, if you haven't changed anything, what all of a sudden is going to, you know, like you snap your fingers in 2 weeks and then the players are going to be bought in and they're going to be, you know, on par with the system that we're running. Like, even bringing people back from injuries, I don't think is just all of a sudden going to make this a contender. I mean, I think playoffs are out. I think, like Trevor said, it's probably going to be out after this week. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I think it's going to be a little darker before the sunrise or whatever the fuck that saying is. And, you know, I'm usually pessimistic. I try not to lean too negative.
Usually.
Well, because like Mike said, when we started this podcast, we didn't want to just be like a city I don't want to say the actual term they use, but like, we don't want to just, you know, gas them up and, oh, they're great and they're going to win every week and blah, blah, blah. Like, we watch the same game that everybody else is. We see that they're not good. Jack's point of them being unlucky, I think we can put a bow on that. I think they're just bad. Just not good.
A little bit of both. The good thing is to talk a little bit about positives with this team is, like, we could play in a baseball stadium. We could have terrible fans not showing up. We could have an ugly jersey. You know, like, the franchise is all there. It's perfect, and we just got spoiled by that first year. Everything's still there. We just need the product on the field to turn around. But a trophy would do that. So that's why I hope they really, you know, get a good starting 11 for Wednesday. And it really depends on, I think we can definitely win Wednesday depending on who Minnesota puts out there. You know, Minnesota's doing well this year. They're second in the Western Conference. You know, maybe they're really focusing on their league matches and they'll play some of their subs and play some of their, you know, whatever their second squad is. They'll play a lot of those players, and we can definitely sneak out a win. And it's always hard to beat the same team twice, you know. But we'll see. Some hardware would definitely fix my mood, whether it is just a U.S. Open Cup.
And this is my only other point, and then I get we can move on to the preview if we want. I mean, but I think that the only drastic change is going to come once the stadium starts to empty out a little bit and once the fans aren't supporting. And I feel like our fan base is very ride or die. I think that would take a while before we start to see half empty stadiums and the fans not caring. So that's almost going to give them more of a runway to wait on those changes, because they're still bringing money in. The fans are still showing up. Like, I've seen people online say that we should start boycotting going to the games. I'm like, that's a little dramatic.
I disagree with that. Yeah,
exactly. But
never do that.
They're not going to come to their senses until there's a clear, like, lack of engagement, or, you know, apathy. That is what I always hear on the social, or on the local radio about the Cardinals when they sucked. Like, they don't even give a shit anymore. And I feel like it's going to take a while to get to that point, which means it's just going to be more of the same for a while. Just mid. I had player ratings from Saturday. Anybody want to take a guess who the lowest rated player on the pitch was?
Without looking, I think I just looked. I think a safe bet would definitely be one of the defenders. So I'm going to say either Yarrow or Bumgarnell.
Probably the dude standing still while the back heel goal got flicked in from the 6-yard box in the first half.
It's not that, like, Berkey was too far behind.
Yeah.
They had him at 5'9".
That's like a, was it 5'9"? What was Yarrow?
Yarrow was at 5'8". Berkey, okay. Bumgarnell, and Ostrock were all at a 5'9". Our highest.
I mean, look at Pompeo, highest, tied with the highest defender rating. Look at that. And people say he can't defend.
Wallum at 7'3 was our best player. We were at a 6.3 as a team overall.
Yeah, and Ostrock just played a half. He's pretty low as well. It's crazy. It's probably the least amount of yellow cards I've seen in a City game. Only one. It's actually a pretty clean game.
They were letting them play last night.
Were they? Good. I feel like that benefits us, and I think sometimes Minnesota just has more skill. Yeah, I watched the replay a couple times on that toy shirt hit in the box, and I don't know. I think, like I said earlier, it's a foul everywhere but right there, maybe. But that's not how it should go, but that's just how it is. Because they're like shoulder to shoulder, but the ball isn't really there, and it's more shoulder to back. Yeah, I could complain about that all day. I'll stop complaining.
I can complain about a lot of stuff, and that's why I was going to say.
We're complaining a lot. Maybe we just move on. Bad game.
Do we have any other complaints before we move on to Wednesday, which I'm probably also going to be negative about? But
I mean, look at former City's Mark Anich, 7-5 for Mark Anich.
That's almost as if. Well, no, I'm not even going to say that, because I was shitting on Mark Anich.
We should all go here.
I'm not going to bat for Mark Anich.
I think he's a decent player, but he'd always, like, charge headfirst into, like, a really risky charge and then give up, like, a 2-on-1 the other way. And
he would be out of position constantly. He'd be halfway up the pitch while they were on a counterattack, whatever. So we are going to see the rematch on Wednesday. It's the same club at Minnesota again. Grudge match. I'm kind of hoping that we see some new, I don't even know. I'm hoping we see some new faces in the lineup. I don't know who that would be.
I think
I like JGR getting a start. I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah, I think he did fine. I'd really need that back line changed up a bit.
If Josh Yarrow is in that lineup.
You don't have any center backs, man. I think he's going to be in there. So, unless you bring up
four at the fucking back, you don't need three center backs.
They played four at the back, but Pompey was one of those four. And then Yarrow and Hebert are staying there in the middle. They had Bumgarner in the middle. Was Hebert out wide? No, I'm forgetting.
Oh, fuck.
It was Bumgarner out wide and Hebert in the middle, which is interesting. But it seemed like the whole game, Bumgarner was right there in the middle of everything. To be fair, they were getting touches around our box at will. But
I'll end it with two positives before we go to the preview. Officially go to the preview. I liked Wallum in the false nine. And I like JGR at CDM. And that's what I'll leave it at.
I agree with both of those. I thought Wallum, from the numbers, I mean, I watched a little bit. I didn't watch it as closely as I normally do. I thought that he looked pretty good. He had a couple of chances. And JGR, I like his versatility. I think that I would be fine with him at CDM or center back. That's somebody that, you know, if Durkin can come back and play some minutes, like maybe you get a Durkin Ostrock midfield or a Durkin Hartel midfield, you let JGR play instead of Yarrow. I don't know. That's the thing. Like last week, we didn't even do a predicted starting 11 because it's going to be the same one every time.
You changed it.
And it did change it, of course, when we don't predict it. But I feel like it's going to be more of the same, to where everybody wants changes and wants things to look different, but we're going to roll out the same lineup. We're going to see the same type of performance that we have all season, and then it's just the frustration's just going to snowball into people calling for jobs, which I guess they're already doing. So
I'm hoping, since he didn't start last game, guessing they are going for the cup win, because you'll have Kessler back there, right? Hopefully instead of Yarrow.
Oof, God, I hope so.
Kessler didn't play at all. Man. I'm guessing they are going, which is what we wanted him to do coming into the weekend. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
I'd rather them just go for this cup game. And I know Kessler's coming back from injury, and hopefully nothing was tweaked, but he was on the bench. He didn't sub in or anything, which is crazy because, you know, Olaf loves those defensive subs late in the game, no matter the scoreline. So I'm guessing they're really going for it, and you're going to have Kessler back there. I don't know if Berkey starts, you know, back-to-back games against the same team. I wouldn't be surprised if they do actually start Lunt. And I know that might sound crazy, but I wouldn't be surprised if Berkey's out there. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't, though. That's kind of one where I'm on the fence.
I think they're playing the A-team, the quote-unquote A-team.
Yeah.
The first team that's really like a C-minus
team. Because, you know, Klaus came on late. Silva didn't come on until the 70th, and
Durkin was on late as well.
Only played 70.
Yeah.
What do I have to do to get a Silva start? Like, I don't understand how,
honestly,
you don't put him out wide on the right side.
Yeah, hopefully we see that Wednesday, because he looked really dangerous against Kansas City.
He always looks, well. I mean, I don't
he's
know.
He's just like Pompeo. He has that one-on-one skill, and our offense is so bad, you need people that have one-on-one skill that can create something out of nothing, though.
When I say Olaf is going to make us play the way he wants us to play, that's what I mean. Because how can you watch this game, these games, and not go, oh, Celio and Silva have to start every game?
And that's where I'm like, is it almost like stubbornness? Like, you want your system to work with your players, so you, instead of be adjusting the focus and maybe going with a little more speed and flare out on the outside, like you're just gonna stick with it when it's obviously not working?
He thinks he's Jose Mourinho.
They're tanking for that first overall super draft pick.
Only that meant something.
I was gonna say, yeah, because our other super draft pick, I mean, I guess we got Zielinski, but Kojima's gone.
Kojima was good, though. That was a good pick.
I don't know. I can't think of any other that we've, through the draft, that have played any serious minutes. I don't think any, right?
Montreal,
I was excited to see Zielinski the other day. I thought that would be somebody that could maybe get a start on Wednesday or Saturday, depending on.
I could see it, or even Reed
out the A team. But I thought Zielinski got injured. I think he was on the injury report.
He was on the injury report.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, we could see Reed. Reed hasn't gotten many minutes, and I liked Reed. He just might not be one of Olaf's guys, and he could be not that good, and I'm remembering incorrectly, but I thought he was pretty good when we saw him play a couple years ago.
When I picture the lineups and, like, think about what, I always go back to him running the 3-4-3 that we've seen. I think majority that ends up being a 5-2-2 or 5-3-2. You know what I'm talking about? And I think Reed, like, because then Reed on the left in that wingback role that he's a more natural fit for anyway. Mm-hmm. And then Wallum playing in that left mid, and then Celio up there. And it's like you start getting more and more excited about the attack. And then the lineup comes out and he puts Celio Pompeo in a left wingback role.
Mm.
And you're just like, okay, why? I just need him to. Sometimes instead of him running circles around Matt Baker, our best friend, in the press conference, I just want someone to go, why'd you play Celio there? That makes no sense.
And that's the, like, and I'm sure that they want to. Like, I know Rocchio from 101, he is always in there, and he asks some hard, or maybe not hard questions, but, like, questions that need to be asked. And you can tell that they feel a certain way about it, or they want to ask plainly like that, but you know, you got to keep that credential. So, like, you can't go too into the negativity, especially at the presser. But yeah, that's why I wish we could just get like an Armstrong type response. Like, I'm tired of the coach speak, or like the, well, you know, I thought we were the better team in the first 45, but you know, they really played their game. And it's like, okay, well, when we were the best team in the first half, it was 0-0 or whatever, and like I'm thinking of Kansas City, you know, 2-0, and then you blow it. Like, it doesn't matter if you were good in the first half if you can't get 3 points, which we haven't since 2 months ago.
It's been a while. I miss getting points. That's always fun. The
two wins this season.
Do you think some of that on Olaf's coach speak is just pressure from, you know, the front office on not to give too much away? You know, when we hear that stuff coming from Doug Armstrong, you know, he's above that. He's not the coach. He's giving you the plan. We don't hear much from Leitz anymore. We don't hear much from, like, the people making the decisions up there. I wonder if Olaf's just kind of in handcuffs and he'd like to say more, and he just doesn't. I don't know. It's just, you know, speculation. We're just grasping at straws here because we want 3 points real bad. But
I also, listening to his press conference, this might be a cop-out answer, but there also might be like a little bit of like language barrier. Like, sometimes when you're watching him answer a question, you can tell that he's like trying to articulate what he's thinking. Like, I think he generally, like, when he gets asked a question, might not know how to format his answer. I don't know if that's me reading into it too much, or if that's a lame excuse, but I think that might why he's kind of like, I remember there was a clip of when he was kind of talking about Celio and the hard work. Like, I think it was Rocchio asked him that question and he just didn't answer it at all and just talked to him and they moved on. So it's like, I don't know. I can't tell which one.
I can tell you English is my first language and I wouldn't be able to articulate as well as Olaf, but,
English is my first language, and I couldn't explain some of the decisions and the performances.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, have you...
Right, sure, we need to sacrifice our media credentials one time. And just go at them at the press conference. Just...
Yeah.
How do you do that? Why do you keep putting the same 11 out even though it's not working?
Yeah, just be...
Are you related to Carnell?
Why? Why? Why are you doing that? Hey, why?
Carnell actually did better than you and got fired, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as you didn't score in the first half, you went back to same old,
yeah, I do think when Olaf says the stuff where it's like we played better or we played just as good in the first half, I really don't think he's lying. Like, he said that again this time. I think St. Louis did play, but they didn't deserve, I wouldn't say they didn't deserve to be down. The problem we have, and we mention it every time because it's just, it happens, we can't finish our chances. We create chances. The team is fine at creating chances. We actually won the possession game this time, but we can't finish these chances. And when we do, like, a lot of these chances aren't good, but I'm just saying, I agree with him sometimes when he says we play better than the other team, but that's the first half, or that's one half, or that's a certain section of the game. We're never better than the other team a full 90, and we're so bad compared to the other team that during that stretch where we aren't better, we're giving up 2 and 3 goals and we're not scoring at all.
I want you two to answer this. When do we look most dangerous on tech? Like, what's going on that makes us look the most dangerous?
Usually when we get the ball in space and we actually go at net instead of hitting it out wide. I feel like we get space down the wings pretty well, but any cross that comes in, I don't think I've seen a dangerous cross or a dangerous header or volley off a cross in all year. I mean, I don't remember a strong like cross ever. So it's definitely just going down the middle, and like our set pieces. Yeah, like our set pieces are bad too, and we kind of know why. You know, our guy we brought in to be this set piece specialist has great deliveries is Leuven. Leuven's been out, which is frustrating. But Hartel has a good ball. It's just not the same. So I'm sure like our set pieces will get a lot more dangerous once Leuven's in the lineup. But so far, like, set pieces, corners especially, there's no danger. Any cross in, there's no danger.
Okay. And I know you guys, like I said, were out of town, busy, couldn't watch the game. Do you know what I sat and watched for the last 50 minutes of the game?
What?
Crosses from out wide.
Ooh, were any of them dangerous?
Do you count crossing into two guys defended by six as dangerous?
No. Unless your number nine is like Zlatan, no.
What about when you're targeting? I was about to say, what about when you're targeting your 5'11" striker?
Oh no, also no.
Okay. It's almost as soon as Betcher came in. That's what I saw.
Yeah, and I've noticed that. Almost every game, anytime a cross is in, all four of the other team's defenders right there on that back line are right there, and there's only maybe two or three guys in the box for us.
I just, going back to your question, Mike, when we played Wednesday against KC, I think I talked about it on the last pod, so many, like, over-the-top, like, long balls, or, you know, they were trying to go, like, switch the field way across when they have, it's almost like us playing FIFA. Like, you have somebody making a run right in front of you that you can play them maybe in behind, you know, it might take a little through ball. But instead, you're booting it all the way across the field, and it's not linking up with anybody. I think that I like us going out wide. Like, if we had a Silva, Celio, or even just Celio on the left, I like going out wide. But then at some point, you need to maybe play it on the ground up to the top of the box and then have it work through the middle. Like, just sending the ball in and having it cleared out over and over and over again, it's not working.
That's the thing is, though, when you're sending it out wide to Celio or Silva, that's someone who can create chances on the ball. However, when you send it out wide to Akil Watts or Cedric Toyshirt, that's someone who can brick foot it 40 yards over your guys in the middle of the box. It all comes back to the decisions Olaf makes with the lineup and the subs that just continue to make no sense to me.
And I will give him the benefit, maybe not the benefit of the doubt at this point, but I will say, and he's said it multiple times, the injuries have caused them to move players around. We're never going to be fully healthy, it seems like, but I'm hoping once we get a couple key players back, if we get some people in their natural positions where they're a little more comfortable, and then maybe something will change, but I don't know. I wouldn't count on it.
You know what you can count? 106 days until Labor Day.
The countdown is on. The first one was Jack with Betcher's contract being up before they started it. Because
they extended it, Betcher. Maybe I shouldn't start a countdown.
Now we're starting the countdown for Olaf. Okay, that's enough. That's enough negativity. Do we want to go into the lineup? Do we even want to predict the lineup?
We could do the A squad.
So what is that? That's Berkey and Net.
Berkey and Net. Kessler, Hebert. Bumgarnel, but I bet we see Yarrow instead of Kessler. Maybe not. Yarrow's been playing a lot lately. Maybe they will throw someone else in there. Then it'd probably be Wallum, or Wallum, Watts, Hartel, and
Stein, yeah.
Durkin or Oshrock in the middle.
Isn't it crazy, though, that like you just said, all right, they're going to go with the A-team, and then the A-team has Kyle Hebert, Josh Yarrow, and Akil Watts in that. Like, that's bad.
That's the A squad this year. And then you'll see.
We had Hartel, you said Oshrock in the middle?
Yeah, he's been playing Oshrock more lately. Maybe Durkin if Durkin's healthy.
Yeah, like, I would love if Durkin was healthy, and then we could put, I don't know, Reed maybe out wide on one side, so you can put Wallum on the other, so that way Watts isn't there. You could put JGR in and try to have Yarrow sit on the bench.
That's what I said earlier, is you get to thinking about all the ways that you can actually improve this lineup, and you start talking yourself into, this team really isn't as bad as they're playing right now, and the only reason they're playing as bad as they're playing right now is because they keep getting thrown in these weird formations with Yarrow and Watts consistently making starts, consistently providing nothing. All circles back to one person, but I've said my spiel on him.
Yeah. This is every podcast. We talk about the same shit, so I'm sorry if it gets a little redundant, but it's the same issue and nothing's changing. So, yeah, broken record. Okay, so Berkey in between the posts. We have Kessler, Hebert, and Yarrow. Probably in the center back spot, maybe Bumgardle, Wallum and Watts out wide, Hartel and Oshrock up the middle with Stelio, Klaus, and Toyshirt up top in the three. We think that's right?
Yep.
All right.
Well, I'd love to see Silva instead of Toyshirt.
Yeah, me too. So moving on to our predictions, the City Limits guessing game. We didn't have any points last week, or last match, I should say. We're still at 3-3 for Mike and I. And then Trevor's still at one point.
I'm just gonna have to start predicting losses so I can get some more points.
I think that's where a couple of my points were from, was from City losses and no goal score.
Two of our points are depending on City scoring, pretty much.
Yeah,
which is a problem.
I can't wait to predict a loss and City comes out and wins 5-0 or something next game. I'll be happy. I'm fine getting no points from that. But
I kind of want to talk about that because I have 2-1 Minnesota. I originally had 2-0, but in my head I was thinking, well, there's no way that we get shut out by the same team 2 games in a row, do we? And then I was like, okay, I'll give them a point. We'll get 2-1. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, this team could definitely get shut out twice in a row by Minnesota. I don't think that would really be surprising.
Having said, 2-1. I want to end
it. Yeah,
I want to end it on a positive note.
I have Klaus goal score, by the way. 2-1, Klaus goal score.
I got 1-0 Minnesota. I think they do a better job locking up the back line because I think Kessler's going to start. But they do concede one, and I just don't see this City team scoring on Minnesota. So now Minnesota could come out with the B squad, and we could play really well, and I hope that's the case. But I have no goal scorer in Minnesota winning 1-0 at Minnesota.
I just spent the last 40 minutes bitching about our team.
But
I'll stand 10 toes down. We're winning 2-0 tomorrow, or Wednesday. 2-0 Wednesday. Klaus is scoring.
I like
Klaus scores, Klaus gets man of the match.
Is that a Jack special I see? 2-0 City close. With the Klaus goal score?
No. Mike special.
We've changed that name. Jack might not be back. We don't really know. But we can make it the Mike special if not.
If it works, fellas, it's the Mike special. If it doesn't
if it
work,
works, it's the Mike special. If Mike gets 3 points and it's 2-0 City goal man of the match, I think it's officially the Mike special.
I get my signed Wallum jersey.
That one might actually be harder to get a hold of.
A little pricier than the Hebert one, I know.
We'll have to fork over a little bit more cash.
This is completely off topic, and we'll do the outro in just a sec, but I went to a place on the hill earlier today for lunch, and It was good, but they had a jersey up from the inaugural season, like inaugural home jersey, and there was three signatures on it, and it was the most random assortment of signatures ever. It was Perez, Lucas Bartlett, and who was the other one? Perez, Bartlett, and now I can't remember, but it was like, how did they only get these three players? Or maybe Tim Parker, maybe? I don't know. But it was like, you know, you didn't get Klaus or Toysher. Like, it was just an interesting assortment of signatures on the jersey. I still think the inaugural jersey is better than the one we have now, though, the inaugural home.
Oh, yeah, that's not a hot take at all.
No, by far. Like, I see them all the time at the game, and they're just so much better than the new one, man. The yellow lines on it, and it's just no collar. Just, I love it.
You guys, no collars, really.
The Adidas jersey we got?
Yeah.
The what?
No collars. The copy-paste ones?
No. I do like the new Earth Day and Pride jerseys they've released this year, though.
Yeah, because they put thought into those.
Yeah,
they got to pay off that stadium. I'm going to give you plenty of alternate jerseys to buy.
That's the best way to pay it off.
Yeah, I'm going to get both, but I'm going to try to wait till they're like $40 next year, because that's how I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a whole bunch of Seattle Sounders third jerseys or an alternate jersey at Marshall's the other day for like $30. They're like the red ones with yellow stripes. Ugly as shit.
Ugh, that sounds gross.
Yeah, if it was like $5, I would do it.
Well, I guess we can go ahead and wrap it up, fellas. This is another therapy session for us. That's what the KC episode was, and I think this is about more of the same. But we will be back after. Sure.
Because that's where I'm at right now.
We will be back after the midweek match against Minnesota. We'll probably have another rant session because then we'll be out of a trophy. But
Mike, from a 2-0 win.
2-0 win. 2-0 win, Klaus special, whatever. Give us a follow at ICL Pod on Twitter, at C Sutton City. And until then, let's go all caps.